Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM. You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
Good afternoon, unhappy people of Namibia, and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. I will explain the unhappy part in a few. From the look of things, now the unhappy part is coming from the global reports that's compiled annually on the happiest countries. I have so many questions, most of which are, I don't believe most of what the report is saying. Now, for the most part, these reports comes out annually, where they basically compile the whole list of over 140 something countries from. From the happiest to the most happiest to the least happiest. And now, in last year's report, we were at 103.
I assume we're still there, yeah? Because
we're at 108.
Ish, so we fell by 5. Well, it is. We can slightly. I have heard some Namibians are not entirely jubilant.
Not just that. There's one interesting report. It's more of an article on the global use of antidepressants.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is that according to the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD, the countries, they compiled a list, I think, to 2015. They compiled a list of countries that use antidepressants the most globally. And guess what? That list looks awfully familiar to the World Happiness Report. The countries that are at the top of the chart in the World Happiness Report, so that frequently at the top of the chart of the World Happiness Report, also appeared a lot in the antidepressants, in the use of antidepressants. Now, the reason I'm starting with that comparison is, what the heck does that mean? Does that mean for us to move from 108 to maybe number one, we have to
get rid of antidepressants?
We have to get more antidepressants.
Look,
man, the point here is, if countries that are being described as happy, according to this report, are consuming antidepressants like crazy, we're going to need something stronger.
Yeah, we will need something stronger.
Yeah.
But now...
Not advocating for crack, obviously, but go on.
But now, to see this hypothesis of the 2026 World Happiness Report, which they base on social media exposure, versus your happiness, or finding the linkage between being exposed to social media and how happy you are when you walk away from the social media, sounds like a plausible thing, but it's the only factor that impacts people's livelihoods. I mean, I still remember back to the 2025 version of this report, the journalist, this was a British journalist, they went to Denmark, because Denmark was in the top 5 once again. I think it's still in the top 5 once again. Denmark and Iceland after Finland, alongside Sweden and Costa Rica of all places. I was like, Costa Rica? What's going on there? But when they went and looked at why is it perceived that Danes are happy? And the Danes have a very strong social welfare system. I'll say it again. The Danes have a very strong social welfare system. Now, come and ask Namibians, do we have a strong social welfare system? Meaning, if you are sick, will you get help or assistance within a reasonable amount of time? that does not actually lead to you either losing a limb or possibly your life, but you actually get assisted, Helmut, and then you can walk away alive. You know, like that other slogan that says arrive alive, but this time you walk away alive from the medical facility. Many people will tell you in Namibia who are dependent upon public healthcare, they'll tell you no. In actual fact, they are afraid of going to our public healthcare systems. We have a colleague here, Helmut. She had, unfortunately, I'm sorry if you know who you are, but unfortunately, she was one such recipient of, I don't want to say malpractice, because for a doctor or a nurse, you use the word malpractice. I don't want to say malpractice, but it did sound scary. I mean, she got a C-section during childbirth, but how situations were handled after it, it was scary to hear it. And she's not the only woman in Namibia who has unfortunately suffered under, you know, these particular conditions. You hear glimpses of it because the people obviously run, they go and whistleblow to the major media outlets like the newspapers. But it's just contained in that scenario because you don't know how often does this malpractice, this if you call it, but basically let's call it what it is, incompetence happen. Because you're dealing with people's lives and you're dealing with people's health. But to forget to stitch up in a certain area or you now just applied a C-section procedure to a pregnant woman who's busy delivering, now you've obviously got to treat her to a recoverable state afterwards.
Okay.
And in between you forget to do one thing or you don't do one thing and there's more discomfort that leads from that original procedure.
Was it the procedure that's the problem or the treatment that, you know, like the recovery process treatments?
Okay, so now you want me to go into the nut, into
well,
the...
Well, you started, but... Anyway.
Okay. Let me highlight it this way, Helmut. So when a C-section procedure is applied to a woman, that 2,000-year-old medical procedure that the Romans invented, in order when they realize that the woman's body is too small for her birth canal, meaning as the baby has to come out. But before that, we take the ad break.
Say it before you say yes to someone. Look at the size of the head, but go on.
Care that builds with you. That's the rollover benefit from NHB. When you claim less than a defined amount of your day-to-day benefits in a year, the unused amount is carried over for the next year, like a savings account for your health. You can use your rollover benefit in many ways, from co-payments to medical costs usually not covered, even contribution holidays. Learn more at nhb.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHB, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHB, we're about you.
Welcome back. Where are we? C-section.
With the C-section. So, what happens after that? After delivery, the woman hopefully is, you know, she's fine in delivering, is that they've got to close up where
the cut
was applied. Close it up and make sure, obviously, that, you know, that she can heal properly. The wound heals, technically, properly. But if you hear of stories like something was left out or something was left in the person and it's busy festering and it's causing inconveniences, I mean, your face just contorts and pulls in various conditions because you're asking the question of what people are we allowing, what caliber of professional are we allowing to practice in this country? Specifically when it comes to surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that person probably, I would like to know if that person has a fighter jet pilot license because you must be vetted at multiple levels.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I will advocate for AI surgeons. Because at least what they've tested in Groote Schuur in Cape Town is the surgeon has to just check that the procedure that is being applied to the patient is in order and the AI and the robot does the procedure. That way, the robot knows there is, you know, you follow a procedure, meaning it's got various phases, pre, mid, in, during, post, what happens at post, how do you treat the patient, what you apply, suggestions, voila. Then we have to know that if we're going to trust humans, fellow humans, then I am for AI application and robotics in one discipline, specifically with surgeons.
My problem with the AI is not the AI. Is who is running the AI. I don't want it to start asking for a for a subscription in the middle of the operation, and now you have to quickly put in your, you know, your account number.
Now, which is also true.
Yeah. Now,
or they have to buy a voucher to update it.
Update. I think the use of technology, like AI, for example, complementary would be a brilliant idea. And especially in the public sector, I think this not just in health, this basically just across the board, across all services in the public sector. Again, I think it's safe to say not just in Namibia, just the whole African continent. The way that things are done in the private sector, first of all, you will have to upgrade a lot of equipments. And just raise up the number of manpower to the level of a reasonable patient to health professional ratio. Because if this individual and these are specialists, you have to understand, they're basically doing this both in the public and private sector. And they are not a lot. I think we need to train a lot of them because, this whole thing of having maybe 5 people basically jump in between public and private sector to do the same thing, that's a lot of money. I get it. But also that comes with a lot of exhaustion. And that's how you find yourself as a dentist removing the healthy tooth.
Oh, yeah. That's the other concern. Yeah, our other former colleague who lost the healthy tooth, which was right next to the...
I'm beginning to think these guys are now against us. But look...
But still, Hamoud. I mean, it's not difficult, Hamoud. How do you take out the wrong tooth? You're showing the person, you're sitting there vulnerable with an open, gaping mouth.
Oops.
Please look there. And you take the wrong tooth. You even... Do you know, Hamoud, have you ever heard someone...
Look, if you're a dentist and you can't tell the difference between a decaying tooth and...
Exactly. And what does a decaying tooth sometimes look like? It's got obvious signs of decay on it.
That's one of those things I just don't get. I mean, it's like being a guy who is a gynecologist and you are terrible in bed. How do you explain that?
Now, that's got nothing to do with
medical profession. So, happiness report. And these guys think we are not happy. We really are happy. I don't even know why we're at 108.
Well, I started from the medical side of things.
Yeah.
The dispensation
it's
of
it's one of those things that they were health. Looking at, yeah.
Yeah. Second scenario is obviously the economic opportunities. Now, this World Happiness Report, which in its own right has got multiple, multiple institutions involved in its compilation.
Yeah.
It's not straightforward. Remember when we did it last year, Hamoud, it also had a little bit of a convolution to it, meaning, okay, what defines the happiness factors or the happiness dimensions? What are we looking at actually?
Yeah.
Are we looking at human development indices, which comes from the human development index from the UN? And just to find out, that particular index plays a minor role, and then they go look at something else. Now, for this year, the hypothesis for this year is based on social media exposure. How do you feel after spending potentially 8 hours a day on social media? How do you feel during the course of the day on global politics, on developments in your country, so on and so forth?
This is social trends and...
Yeah. This is based upon a scenario, obviously, that you're not a country like Namibia that will obviously be impacted by the war in the Middle East.
At least not directly.
True. That particular
thank heavens.
Part.
Financially, oh yeah.
No, maybe directly through oil. Even though Nigeria is trying to soften a blow and, for the African continent, you know, on the West Coast, but we still don't know because we, to say definitely to say, no one has proven where does Namibia actually get its petroleum products. It just gets here by boat. We'll probably know by boat where the boat comes from. But where does the product come from?
Don't we get it from South Africa?
No, we buy directly our stuff. So we don't buy from South Africa. It stops at South Africa first and then it comes to us. So our delivery is part of the delivery to South Africa.
What?
Our delivery. Look, the Namibian government buys directly. The question is, where do we buy from? Who is the... what's the origin?
Like I was, a specific supplier.
Yeah. Now, we don't buy oil, crude oil, because we don't have refineries.
We don't have refineries, yeah.
We buy the product after it was processed. So we're buying someone else's product, meaning a Total, a Shell, a BP,
Chevron.
Chevron. We're buying someone's processed product.
Yeah.
From, but where does that product come from? The product, the original product out of the ground.
Now, like before it's refined.
Before it's
by
refined.
The supplier.
Yeah. Whose product are we buying? So that we know the quality of the product that we are selling in Namibia. Now, no one is sharing that particular dynamic because it's just a question of, oh, don't worry. You know, Namibia will, is fine for now.
I mean, that's a good question, though.
Where are we getting our actual petroleum products? We don't buy the oil.
Not the Ngungula. We know that one has come from Angola, and it's someone actually explained it to me in a somewhat very interesting way. That one of the reasons you have to understand why. You know, why it would be very tricky as of now for Angola to be like a lifeline, like fuel-wise for Namibia, is because of the refining standards.
Now, that was the other thing. We also are not told about refining standards because obviously the guys in
because
the...
Because one thing that we are told about the fuel coming out of Angola is because at least something what I've heard is it's high in sulfur. That means I would assume our standards does not actually, requires one that's low or no sulfur.
Or the engines that we buy from South Africa.
Exactly. They are also not suited for
they're not suited for this octane.
Type of fuel.
Yeah. So the question is, what's wrong with this octane that comes from Angola?
Well, that's why you should actually learn to build your own stuff, because you'd have built it based on that specific type of... But you know what? You just had to play Lego with Peugeot and then...
And no, but playing Lego with Peugeot was... You could see it was an easy answer, Helmut. It wasn't actually addressing the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Playing Lego with a car that's a generation ago, meaning it's a technology intensive car. Your country didn't develop, the local content policy wasn't so well established. Meaning, do you produce the nuts and bolts? Do you produce the tires? Do you produce this? Do you produce that?
Mm.
Because you need to have all those supply chains linking into the thing.
Yeah.
Now it's a question like the conversations we had prior to when you and I joined up here for the home run, where the callers who were privy to like their involvement regarding that Peugeot plant kept saying, but the thing is manufactured in France. And it's shipped to Namibia to be attached,
so
to
everything,
be put together.
You're talking about screws, bolts,
everything.
Nuts, everything is...
It's made in France. So that technically means just shifting manufacturing capacity. For who are we making it? The South Africans come and tell us, but you are transgressing in the SACU trade agreement, which was the other particular thing in the book that we read, The Guide to the Namibian Economy, meaning people did not go and do due diligence when they decided on this particular path.
I think I'm not sure if that the guide to the Namibian Economy says that about the Peugeot plant in Walvis Bay or SME Bank, but it does say something about interesting, and that's because we have got to stop doing things for political clout.
Exactly, or that politicians form part of the decision making, the discussions.
If you made a promise. let's just say before you make a promise, look at its economic viability and just do the right consultations and make sure that when that project is, that project kicks on, it doesn't die natural death because you just, you made what is it, Shobhan describes in yesterday's audios, expensive promises.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Do you know what's looking like hot property right now?
What's that?
This green hydrogen project. I just came this morning from it's a green hydrogen conference, inverted commas, but it was actually good, good lectures that I observed.
Yeah.
I only stayed until the 12:30 mark. But it was based upon the power to X. Now, you remember you and I, we did the power to X principle last year.
Yeah.
And I've done the power to X principle before, back in 2023. Now, the power to X, Helmut, is the ability, after you've produced the green ammonia and the green hydrogen, to use that resource, those two resources, to produce synthetic fuels. Let me say it again. To produce synthetic fuels. They call them also the e-fuels. So, making kerosene, jet fuel, from green ammonia or from green hydrogen. You can apply that. And today, major PowerPoint presentations were given how to even the biomass power plant that NamPower is building outside of Tumip will also play a pivotal role in further manufacturing capability. Meaning, it's not just about producing the green ammonia and the green hydrogen, but also potentially producing other products at the power plant or around the power plant itself, adding more value. Meaning we can literally grow and make our own e-fuels. Now, that is starting to look like hot property in this discussion of the geopolitical situation there in the Middle East, obviously, that might impact us. Because we are sitting with more uncertainty in Namibia. We don't know until tomorrow must know.
You know, there's something about opening a Tafel Lager that brings people together.
Yeah, and once people come together, the voices follow.
Ideas get shared. Laughs get louder.
New perspectives come up where you least expect them.
Because when people use their voice, conversations start.
And those conversations, they can refresh a moment and even shape what happens next.
So, grab a Tafel Lager and start the conversation. Tafel Lager. Now we're talking. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
We all have that one thing only we do. That unique thing that makes you real. Just like Vintuk beer.
For some, it's that secret handshake thing that makes you feel like family. For others, it's that brave hold my beer thing when the moment calls for courage. For friends, it's that fun patkos and cooler box thing where the best memories are made.
And for Vintuk beer, it's that barley hops and water thing. Let's raise a Vintuk beer for that real thing only you do. 100% real beer for real people. Not for sale to persons under 18. Drink responsibly.
Welcome back. So, from the look of things, whoever is compiling, how do I put this? Whoever is compiling these reports, personally, I have a lot of questions. But like I said, personally, let me just give you a glimpse of what is going on here. Now, social media, in last year's World Happiness Report, sharing and caring was central to that report. It was emphasized that, when they looked at countries that are topping the chart on the, in terms of happiness around the world, one thing that they looked at was and this went back to the 2024 report, to the 2024 report, happiness and sharing. They were heavily emphasized between 2024 and 2025 reports, but this one is centered around social media, and of course, not just it's a happiness report. Of course, it's going to have a happiness component to it, but sharing was especially sharing food. That's my favorite part about 2025 World Happiness Report. Now, and they found that You know, they also found that a feeling of social support were twice as common, and were twice as common. That means social interactions. A society is very instrumental. You know, when it comes to happiness, so it's social interactions and sharing, especially sharing food. Now, that was according to last year's report. This one is really zones on social media and some of its observed impacts on how it contributes to to happiness. The idea is, or more like the observation has been, the less a country uses social media, the more the country's people is most likely to be happy. Which draws a very interesting picture, seeing, and that means we should expect the crackdown on social media, especially age-related restrictions, which we saw with Australia last year, and Spain this year, and a lot of Nordic countries basically looking into banning social media for a specific age range, especially the youth.
Yesterday came out that landmark court case in Los Angeles. The woman that sued Meta and Google for her mental well-being, she's going to get $6 million in compensation for mental well-being. That kind of a scenario for a woman who's 20 years old suing a company, a social media company, for the mental instability, or just her mental well-being, highlights a profound change, because those companies usually argued, Helmut, that it's up to the person. It's the totalitarian, it's the utilitarianism approach, meaning if no one else has complained about it, and the greater amount of society doesn't find a problem with the impact that my product has on them, then we view it as that the product is good for society, even though no one has complained.
Yeah, I think that's the I think it was the EU that criticized the US way, of doing things, but that was with regards to food.
Yeah,
food standards. The reason why you can find the same brand of a soft drink or of a cookie or cracker in the US, and you find this,
and it has a different color.
It has a different color, different additives, taste. Different taste, and all that.
Yeah.
That's because Canada and basically the EU, they have when it comes to additives, whether it's colorants or sweetness, they require a food. A food company, for example, or a beverage company, to use organic, organic based, plant based type of food additives,
actually,
or artificial sweetener. Now, in the West, it's mostly there's a lot of synthetic products that are going in there.
Yeah.
Now, the criticism was that for the most part in the US, when it comes to regulating things like food, they basically just splash it out there and then wait for someone to be impacted. When they start complaining, that's when the regulations are like, okay, you know what, this is what we have learned.
Yeah.
In other words, we'll just put it out there and then find out its causes later. But the EU
like
is
a hit and a miss.
Exactly. The EU, on the other hand, is a whole different ball game. They want to know what are the impacts of this product before you bring it here. We don't want to learn by trial and error.
Actually, they ask you ingredient lists, and they ask you manufacturing processes. So they do like a pre-audit before the thing is sold. Tell us what's in the product.
Yeah.
Tell us how you
make, where do you source it from?
Where do you source it
from? Because that's also important.
And how does everything that has an input element into the making of this product, what does it look like?
Yeah.
That was why the egg discussion last year regarding the tariffs popped up.
Yeah, that egg example.
Where the British and the Europeans say, don't wash your eggs as an egg farmer. Don't wash the eggs with a detergent because it obviously cleans off a specific protective coating.
Kind of coating, yeah.
And that way you can store the eggs, not at room temperature, but room temperature with air conditioning.
Yeah.
Instead of what the Americans do, they wash the eggs and store the egg in a fridge.
And I think I'll have trouble adjusting because I like eggs in the fridge.
Second scenario is obviously that eggs are porous.
Yeah.
So whatever you wash the egg with gets absorbed into the contents of the egg, which makes things problematic. Now, it's a good thing, Helmut, that you highlighted also on the food discussion. Because way of living, even though this report speaks majority or most of the time about social media's influence, because they even themed the hypothesis, the starting point, everything of this report is about social media's influence. So technically we have to change our perspective of social media instead of putting it as an entertainment feature at the back of our heads. This whole report, these authors, these researchers and institutions are telling us actually social media has a larger impact on the well-being, the mental well-being, the happiness factor, the unhappiness factor of modern-day societies today. They've realized that there's a whole bunch of, and if you're in the English-speaking world, you're a lot less unhappier than if you were in the non-English-speaking world. That is the hypothesis they start on at the, you know, in the executive summary.
Yeah.
If you're in the English-speaking world, you're slightly or way more unhappy than the non-English-speaking world. Even though Iceland and Finland are still chart toppers in terms of who's the happiest there around the world of the countries. You heard, obviously, that Namibia dropped from 5 spots to 108 since last year. I don't know what happened out there for you Namibians. I really don't know. If you were locked up, if you were part of the, you know, high-profile court cases of either from alleged corruption to confirmed corruption to drug dealing to crime, if you were part of those Namibians, yes, definitely you would have been unhappy because, yes, ACC and the police got involved in your life, which is always not the best combination. But further than that, I really need to understand in terms of a Namibian perspective what it actually looks like, meaning defining way of life in Namibia. Is it way of life for someone in the communal land areas? Is it way of life in a commercial farm? Is way of life someone that has a job but has many responsibilities? Or way of life for someone who has no job, has no responsibilities, but still they have ambitions, goals, and stuff like that?
You know, one of the reasons why social media is in a crossfire is actually not surprising, because if you look at, I feel like there's a lot of social pressure coming out of social media because of the whole, you know, social status comparison. Because it's very easy, now social media influencers has been ousted for, you know, a lot of them for, you know, flaunting the lifestyle that they, not even they live. There are a lot of, there are a lot of people that basically have what you'd call a prop of a private jet. It's not a real thing. And, you know, these people basically pay money to make their videos and they, you know, now for you and I, that's just looking at this thing on a screen. We can, you know, just look at yourself and go like, what am I doing with my life? Look at this guy. He's just 16 and he's already accomplished this. First of all, find yourself, we want to find out what's his or his name is. Now.
The real name of the person.
The real name of the person. Now. I think this has actually become much of a big deal that in 2024, if I remember correctly, China banned social media wealth flouting.
Wasn't that last year?
Wait, that was last year.
The one where they said that you must prove that you've got a degree in the subject or in the content.
Oh no, that was content creation. Like if you are going to speak on a specific subject, like nuclear, for example, just make sure
a physicist.
Exactly, you're qualified to talk about that topic. This one was specifically for for those ones that just. Show this type of lifestyle, and this is a type of lifestyle that's somewhat more very enticing. And this is something that you find very, you know, very common in more like forex traders guys. Now, I know a lot of
we've got a few here.
One of the reasons why I don't participate in that is not because I don't believe there are genuine traders out there. I believe they are. But the thing is, my problem is the market is crowded by fraudsters. And it's kind of difficult to tell on who is genuine and who is not. And chances of you running into a fraudster are really high, higher than you running into someone who genuinely wants to teach you the trade.
Yeah. It's the same with the crypto mining.
Exactly. It's the same WhatsApp group.
Like, Hamoud, why is it difficult to be able to find a way to mine your own Satoshi Nakamoto's?
Okay.
The smallest value of a Bitcoin. Why is it so difficult?
I don't really have a lot of faith in people. Mm. And my belief, a very genuine understanding of people, is that if someone had an excellent plan of making, you know, of having a 50, 60, 70% return on investment on any amount of money, I don't think they would be telling me about it.
And they tell you can make the money back by Friday.
Yeah, and the person telling you that has all this idea on how to multiply that money, but first they want your money.
Mm. So why do they first need your money?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The math is not math.
No.
Look, that's the religious equivalent of, that's the equivalent of what's this, when a man of God needs a plane, we have to contribute. When a congregant needs a plane, they have to pray. Okay, so let me get this straight.
Whose toes are you stepping on, Hamoud? Let me know. Those people are very powerful.
Which powerful? The thing is, let's just level the playing field here. If I'm going to pray for a car, you also, man of God, when you need a car, we're going to have to pray.
Yeah,
we can't donate for your car and then we have to pray for mine, are you?
And then they stand Sunday morning in front of the congregation saying, I'd like to thank the community of this wonderful congregation for paying for my Lexus and its repairs. There's an actual story that I'm actually using in this because it actually did happen. My brother.
This verse says God is going to protect you, says a guy with bodyguards. Now that's where I have a problem. Look.
Yeah. But before we continue, Hamoud, let's quickly take a live read.
Yeah.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
And we come back for a quick live read specifically from Tafelaga.
Don't you think we are lucky that we get to use our voices for change?
What do you mean?
Well, we are on radio, so we get to be here for it all. Big talk, small talk, hashtag real talk, DMCs, and the WTFs. Because talking, that's thinking out loud. It's lending your voice to something you care about.
Yeah, it's really not so simple finding your voice. It actually takes real bravery.
Exactly. But you know what? It's really important because that's when magic happens, ideas spark, spirits rise, dreams form.
Yes, and that's why your voice is something worth finding. So, grab a Tafelaga and start a conversation today. Because it's really not just about drinking, it's about what you're sharing. Tafelaga, now we are talking. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Tune in to The Home Run with Hamoud and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM. You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
Welcome back from that short Let's Pay the Bills break. And if you just tuned in, this is Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. And today's subject is the World Happiness Report 2026. Namibia, we moved from position 103 to position 108. I think we all saw this coming from the, you know, number of divorces in January. And it's it was very easy to basically extrapolate from there to how we ended up here. Now, this whole social media part, it's a good thing it's not the only criteria that they are looking at.
Mm.
Now, social welfare, I think looking at it from there, social welfare plays a significant role. Because the bottom line is, first of all, you have to look at this, you know, if you can look at from last year, you know, last year's reports. Last year was they were emphasizing community and sharing. That means the countries, you know, in these countries, you know, they have a significant degree of of community. Now that means a communication on a physical level. Yeah, sometimes it turns out we're not solitary creatures. We are social creatures. So from time to time, we have to go out there and basically talk to a real person. This is very true when it comes to young people, because I think we were the last generation to be raised without our parents having to worry about where are my kids. Like you can leave the house at 6 and disappear the whole day and come back at 6 in the evening. Just come back for dinner. You're just playing around with your friends. But the thing is, that was more like a village type, early 90s. And this was, this is the environment where everyone knows everyone. And they are not that big. And now that everything is being urbanized, you're talking about, a lot of people over a vast area of land, and not everyone basically have good intentions when they see someone, you know, running around. You have world human trafficking is at, all-time high. We didn't have to worry about human trafficking. We just went out there and basically did all those childish things. You know, learn how to ride a bike, climbing trees. Jesus. And that's my case now. You need a... I know that, just follow the professional, advice of learning how to swim with a guide. The only guide I got when I learned how to swim was my cousin, who made sure I drank a few liters before giving me a few swimming lessons.
Liters of water?
Of water. It's a cultural thing. You see, in my culture, your cousin has a cultural right to basically waterboard you.
Was this while you were busy learning to swim?
Yeah. They don't teach you how to swim. Their way of teaching you how to swim is they will take you the furthest they can from land and then leave you there to basically, fight for your life. And when they see that you are about to be carried away by the current, that's when they rescue you. Yeah. It sounds like torture, but, I mastered the art of swimming.
Yeah.
And made sure I think the cultural aspect comes in here in a way that even if I went home and told my parents about that, they would just laugh it off and be like, oh, those are your cousins. Like, wait, what? Mom, I almost died. But did you die though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, okay, you start, Helmut, also from...
Yeah, the social aspect.
Yeah, but from a young age discussion.
Yeah, yeah.
They mention here there's an OECD PISA, a PISA survey, which looked at 15 to 16-year-olds. So they began low. But this was regarding exposure to social media once again, not really tackling the discussion of, happiness conditions. Because what you mentioned was now a scenario of... Before you've got responsibilities. So if we're looking at the discussion, okay, so now the person is 18 or 19. Now they're being told either you've got options, go and study or go and find a job or go and do this or go and do that. And thus try to now adjust from being a dependent to trying to become an independent who might have to look after dependents. Certain scenarios like that, Hamoud, they don't really describe the happiness element also, how people transition from one age group into the next, because it's literally, it's between 19 and 18 to 20 years old. The moment you become 20, everyone views you as an adult.
Yeah.
You are classified as an adult. Okay, actually, technically, it's 21 or when you become 21. Now, when we're obviously here talking about the happiness discussion, happiness takes various forms, guys. And it's not me trying to sound philosophic in my own right, but it's actually a realization of how difficult it is to try and measure an intangible thing.
Yeah, it doesn't have a one-size-fits-all definition.
Yeah, because... Yeah,
that's part of the questions around the whole reports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that tribe, Helmut, that you love from the Pacific Islands, the guys that do the bungee jumping in
Vanuatu.
Vanuatu.
Yeah.
The guys from Vanuatu will come and tell you their life is wonderful.
Yeah, their life is
wonderful. They don't have any social media coverage, and if they do have, it's probably the younger generations. If you now moved into Johannesburg, you would have more stress.
Yeah.
Firstly, it would be the asset forfeiture department of Johannesburg who would be one of the external elements. Secondly, I mean, I read yesterday of the story of the labor lawyer that was shot and killed in Johannesburg on her way.
Oh, the lady, yeah.
The lady,
yeah. I saw that story.
On her way to technically do her work. So you, and this is where I think how some people also try to intervene in some industrial things. Now, if you shoot and kill the lawyer, do you think there's not another lawyer?
Yeah, that's the dumbest thing you can do.
And do they think that another lawyer won't follow the same breadcrumbs when they do an investigation to try and build a case? Meaning, don't you think they will find out the same element of information as the previous person?
Look. That dumb. I mean, we have a perfect example here at home about the slain prosecutor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like someone thought that.
What happened was there.
Yeah. Taking the life of a prosecutor is gonna solve your problem. There is.
And then it expanded into more arrests.
Now even more arrests and even more charges, because now we are looking at murder charges.
Yeah. Murder charges, more corruption charges, theft charges, fraud and forgery charges. So it compounds the actual case.
Like, you're not helping.
It never helped.
Yeah.
So...
Like, how someone basically sat there and thought...
That this was a good idea.
This was a good idea.
I think they watched too many Quentin Tarantino movies.
Ah, yeah, that's true.
That's only you would find from a Godfather reference or a Quentin Tarantino movie. It doesn't make sense.
Like, I don't want to be prosecuted on these charges. I'll just go and take the life of that prosecutor or that lawyer. Oh, well, the whole thing just compounds into even much bigger charges. Now, imagine you were just there minding your own business and you were told, we have a job of going somewhere to buy some kind of acid to use it to take someone's life. And now you are implicated in a murder case. Just because, like, how much money did you want to make that is now making you look at 25 to life? Like, look, maybe I'm the...
And they've been doing it for a while now. It's not like it began like 2 years back.
Yeah.
They've been doing it for a while. So it's probably that they were trying to protect the syndicate.
There's always a syndicate.
Which it was, technically. So the concern from that is a scenario of also... How does the policing... Not just the policing, but... When you've got to deal with criminal elements, what's also the tactics, the techniques, the mechanisms used to combat crime? Because combating crime also fits into the discussion of happiness or life satisfaction.
Yeah.
I'll mention this, Hamut. Every day when I get home, I hear stories from my sister, because she follows, the hometown that we grew up in Rehoboth. They've got like various open groups for the town, but various of them. Some of it might be a buy and sell group. Others would be just a basic community group. But then it's everyone of the town. And the comedy is pure. You thought there was comedy, Helmut in Windhoek. The comedy is
top notch.
It's in Afrikaans, but the comedy is pure. But then you read that there are deeper things. You know, they're literally deeper things.
Yeah.
In what people are sharing. For example, let me share a snippet. It was explained to me just even last night about this one single mother in Rehoboth who went to this community page. She asked, "Guys, is there any advice for me as a single parent on how to try to correct the behavior and the actions and the mentality of my teenage son?" Now, teenage sons and teenage daughters are the difficult period for parents to manage their children. Because this is as this young adult, Helmut, is experiencing hormones. In some cases, we've heard of the rebelling, the rebel phases that young boys or young men and young girls or young women go through. Now, in that case, the parents can always expect one or other form of conflict from this developing adult. Because this adult now has to deal with physical body changes, with emotions and hormones running wild. Because this is not as the body is trying to balance out those levels.
It's basically in a transition period.
Basically, yeah. And the transition period leads to the boy had a squeaky voice. Now suddenly he's got like seriously deep bass in his voice. And he's going hey, pa, you can't touch me like that. Hey, it's not when I was 13. And then you see this 3-meter giant in front of you in your own kitchen. So, yeah. And you're just an average 1.8-meter guy. So, yeah, you've got to deal with situations like that. But before that, ad break.
You know, there's something about opening a Tafel Lager that brings people together.
Yeah, and once people come together, the voices follow.
Ideas get shared. Laughs get louder.
New perspectives come up where you least expect them.
Because when people use their voice, conversations start.
And those conversations, they can refresh a moment and even shape what happens next.
So, grab a Tafel Lager and start the conversation. Tafel Lager. Now we're talking. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Yeah, so a giant in your kitchen.
Yeah, so what happened when that lady, that single parent, came to that community group on and it's on even on Facebook, Helmut, and she came and said, "Guys, oof, any assistance, any advice?" Now, I'm positioning this particular story, dear listeners, so that you can look at the various dimensions of everyday lives of people in Namibia, and you try to quantify. It's actually difficult because quantifying would mean you would sit with a ranking system to try and find things. But you were trying to measure how does this translate to an element of happiness or unhappiness. The lady was torn to shreds, Helmut. People were saying, yeah, beat him up. Yeah, do this, do that. And then the admin of the group comes out and says, yeah, what kind of poor advice are you giving a single parent who's actually in need? And then someone comes out and says, is that so-and-so's kid? And then they tag the guy.
Hey.
The guy who's the actual parent of the person, of the father of the teenage boy.
Yeah.
And then they're even going like, yeah. And then he gets torn to shreds because it's a discussion now of people firstly bashing the mother who came for just pure innocent assistance.
Yeah, genuine advice.
And then they're bashing the dad. Yeah, where are you? Why are you not there? It's being supportive father. What kind of a father are you? And then things just unravel. Making meaning, and this is just social media's influence.
Yeah.
Meaning, you could just imagine or assume the further fallout from this. Because imagine this, Helmut. You go to a public forum digitally just to ask a question. You're curious.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, you are seeing a negative reaction. or you sing a positive one, which actually means you react negatively on one side, you become defensive, people then start, you know, bashing you for whatever you posted. Or if it's positive, you start feeling a little bit more self-confident and you go like, oh wow, this is a nice place of engagement, you know, it's this and it's that.
No, for me, when it comes to advice like that, I would, you know, personally, I would rather go for a professional or, you know, just a parent I know to help me deal with that. Because the thing about social media is people, you know, the thing about social media is anonymity for the most part.
We try. I know, Helmut. There is no anonymity because people go and post a picture of themselves there.
No, look, the thing is, I feel like the difference between the world before social media and the world during social media is that before social media, the only way for you to talk trash about someone is to, you know, just find them physically and then talk trash about them. And that came with the consequences of you having your daylight knocked out of you.
Mm.
Now that you can do that at the comfort of your living room, just staring at a screen, there are no consequences, and not as much as the consequence of you talking trash while staring someone in the face.
You mean become a keyboard warrior?
Exactly. Or you become keyboard a keyboard commander. Warrior. You can just say a lot of nonsense and not face a lot of, a lot of consequences for that. I think that's actually one of those sad reality of how we are going to be pushed in a tech dystopia, because regulations are going to come and basically try to regulate all these things. And once you have regulations that are regulating your freedom of speech to that level, all it takes is one wrong guy in the executive office and you have 10-key tyranny.
True.
So in other words, we're slowly, because of our, you know, because of our just, you know, irresponsibility, matching ourselves in. Just take this from traffic, for example. It's people's inability to basically use their common sense to understand that you are not supposed to be driving 120 kilometers past a school. That's why you have speed humps everywhere.
And they put up the 40 kilometer speed limit.
Yeah.
In and around schools, they put that up.
Yeah, you have speed humps everywhere. Now we're complaining again. Why are these speed humps everywhere? It's because, well, you don't want to be reasonable.
There's someone's teenage son who wants to prove that he's got a license.
Yeah.
Now he's busy doing donuts in the middle of the street.
In the middle of a street.
Or he decides to think he thinks and imagines himself.
After watching too much Fast and Furious.
As being Kimi Raikkonen in a rally car. And now he thinks he's imagining himself in a Fast and Furious movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's busy cutting corners. And so you start seeing people flying into other people's front yards and houses, like that city police guy situation.
So social welfare obviously play a significant role, but that also spills into, you know, I think, you know, that also spills into, in terms of happiness, it spills into crime statistics, for example, because you, I don't think high crime statistics will go, you know, are directly proportional with happiness. They are obviously going to be inversely proportional. Whenever you have high crimes, a lot of people are not going to be happy in that society.
No.
Who would be happy be living in an environment where everyone, you know, you can be hurt at any moment? You're going to be paranoid.
No one will be happy. I mean, zoning back in on the same particular town once again. Okay, it sounds like a joke, but it's not a joke because it actually shows real needs. So there's apparently a traffic cop in the Rehoboth, and people would be saying, you know, when people come to Facebook Marketplace and they come and sell a TV or a pair of shoes or cell phone and stuff like that. So then someone would sarcastically say, hey, is that my TV that got stolen from my house last week?
Mm-hmm.
And then guess who they tag? They tag the traffic officer that they know, who's got a Facebook account in the town, to that particular reply or response that they're making. So as to tell the traffic officer, hey,
check this guy out.
This guy is selling a TV that looks exactly like mine. Now here's the concern, Almut. Many cases, people don't report the crimes that they experienced, meaning when they were robbed or, you know, something happened to them. Under the actions of another human, they don't go file a police report. They don't go report these things. And sometimes the discussions just, it's these particular scenarios that just flow under the table. They just run under the bridge in the river. Now, to tag a traffic officer who does have nothing, who has nothing to do with serious crime or even with crime, because even the police have, organize themselves. They categorize themselves.
Yeah, like, look, if you're saying that's your TV, well, just call the police and file a case. Yeah. Because, there's paperwork that you'll have, obviously have to go through. And even if I was the officer, I don't think I'll take you serious if you are tagging me. And you definitely have not been robbed.
And you'll actually have some format of some proof.
Yeah.
Some format of some proof. But to tag a traffic officer whose jurisdiction is traffic, transport, the roads.
First, that shows you're an idiot.
No, not really.
Congratulations.
No, because Namibians actually think that even if you're a traffic officer, everyone is a police officer. And a police officer is just a regular police officer. You fight crime. Yes, we see you in your uniform. But they don't understand there's a traffic division. There's an explosive division. There's a narcotics division. There's a serious crimes division. There's, what's the other one? Community liaison or community something division. These are the guys, these are the regular police officers, basically. But they're the ones that you can approach, that you go talk to, that you can interact with. You find them on the street, they'll be your friend sometimes, they'll be a family member sometimes. They're the regular guys. It's the other departments and divisions, like explosives. You can't approach explosives because explosives guys are highly skilled, highly trained. Traffic guys will be trying to annoy you. Sorry, guys. I'm not saying that you guys actually annoy us. I'm just saying sorry.
Yeah, driving home after this.
I'm just highlighting. That's how some Namibians think.
They'll be like, ah, so it's you.
So the concern that obviously pops up there is that everyone assumes since you're a police officer, and even if you ask someone, okay, what's your line of work? I work for the Namibian police. Okay, so you're a police officer. The general positive answer is yes. The clear indication, the clear categorization does not exist, is not said. It's not that I'm in this specific division or that specific department. So, bringing us back on point. Education also plays a factor in this. In this happiness discussion, happiness report scenario, and so on. Why? Because it also means the kinds of jobs, the kinds of earnings, the kinds of affordability mechanisms. We also have to face this, dear listeners. When I referenced Denmark a little bit earlier and Helmut referenced Finland, yes, they do have strong social welfare mechanisms in their countries. What they do have is that they've got a lot of, Professor Chung used. They've got a mercantilism, a society that knows how to make and sell products. So they'll always be able to generate jobs and employment for each other, and they'll always be able to develop some sort of economic and financial resilience. Now, when you come to a country like Namibia, resilience-wise, yeah, I don't know where to go. There's no way. I'm still not convinced even.
Resilience in what way? Social, economical?
Both, Helmut. First and foremost, 2 years back when we were told by one of our callers here on air about the psychiatric wards that we only have two.
Oh, yeah, that.
Which means there's great opportunity in the private sector, you can open up as many psychiatric wards across the country and you can charge whatever you want to people. If you look at the, what was that other article that was also done a little bit earlier in last month, February or in January, that Namibia only has 29 or 28 registered psychologists across the whole country. 28 or 29 psychologists, Helmut.
Yeah.
There are so many Namibians who have lost all the rabbits or the sheep or the chickens in their heads now. and we only have 28 or 29 psychologists to treat these Namibians. And you get Namibians that have severe mental illnesses and those with like mild symptoms. I call it mild because they can still go to work. They can still go to, they can get up every morning. In some cases, it might be people that just want, you know, someone to talk to. But then that same professor that I keep referencing, Professor Jiang from the US, said that all the people he has known that has ever gone to a psychologist, they don't think the psychologists even help them much because they probably came out of the appointment with more issues than they assumed.
Reminding me of this one, you know, of one episode in The Big Bang Theory where the, you know, the Stewart character shows up with his friends with a, you know, with a sad face, and there's you know, his friends ask him, "What's wrong?" He basically says, "Well, he's not happy." Then they get into a conversation where they tell him to go and see a therapist, and he was just like, "No, my therapist committed suicide." Like, huh? How bad is it?
You should watch the TV show Shrinking, that stars Harrison Ford, and I keep forgetting the main guy.
Yeah.
Because Harrison Ford's character, which is the senior psychologist between the two psychologists, because the main character's the main character is also a psychologist, and they both practice at the same place of business, and he just one day he just decided, you know what, nah man, I'm not doing this world, this life anymore. And then Harrison Ford's character, which is the other psychologist, goes like, yeah, that's why you've got to find your peace. You can listen to everyone else's stories and sadness and happiness,
find yours.
But you've got to find your peace. But yeah, so it's puzzling. The concepts that all those German psychologists in the 1800s thought up. What was the guy's name? The most famous one. Is it not Nietzsche. Sigmund Freud. Freud them.
I know Friedrich Nietzsche was something else.
Yeah, Nietzsche was a philosopher.
We all have that one thing only we do. That unique thing that makes you real, just like Vintuk beer.
For some, it's that secret handshake thing that makes you feel like family. For others, it's that brave hold my beer thing when the moment calls for courage. For friends, it's that fun podcast and cooler box thing where the best memories are made.
And for Vintuk beer, it's that barley, hops and water thing. Let's raise a Vintuk beer for that real thing only you do. 100% real beer for real people. Not for sale to persons under 18. Drink responsibly.
Welcome back. 14 minutes left to the hour of 6. This is Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. We are still on the subject of World Happiness Report 2026 and the factors that goes into keeping a country happy. I'm not saying it's... some of these things are near, if not borderline, impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's... the whole country happy?
Okay. I mean,
maybe you're talking about, you know, maybe you're looking at average numbers. That would make sense.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also in honesty, it's a bit difficult, and I discovered this last year with the 2025 report that you and I spoke about. I mean, how do you define happiness for Namibia? Even though we moved down by 5 spots, like you pointed out,
mm-hmm.
I'm still trying to understand. And yes, they use markers. I just want to get that index of how the markers are explained. So they measure the GDP per capita of a country. Mm-hmm. They measure social support, which is the social welfare.
Mm-hmm.
They measure healthy life expectancy. So it's life expectancy. How long do people live in your country? They measure freedom to make life choices. So this means changing a job, moving somewhere, going and living somewhere else in your country.
Yeah, not in survival mode.
Yeah. Generosity. How often or what's the propensity of people within a country to help each other with, let's say, if you've got issues. Perceptions of corruption, which we've looked at through the Afrobarometer discussion, which links economic, the economic, let's rather just say the economic direction of how people perceive corruption, if they're both spectrums of the same measurement, which is if they don't have a job, they suspect corruption is high. If they do have a job, suspicion that they then they don't even care if corruption exists. They don't even care.
They wouldn't mind participating.
They wouldn't even mind if it was next door. And then the last measurement that they've got is dystopia, which obviously dystopia is like the envisaged position you probably want to expect your society to be. Now, first and foremost, we have to go and ask Namibians in our country, is there an ideal Namibia that you want?
Eish, I don't think you will have one answer.
No, you won't, Elmer. No, you won't.
You're going to have, you know, the, take 3 million multiplied by, I don't know, the highest number you can think of, and that's how many answers you're going to get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're going to sit with answers now. Wow, they really had to put the state of Palestine as a blank spot. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for laughing.
Who is funding the research?
It shows here Oxford and two other particular institutes. Course, yeah. But the concern also is, like, if you look at, like, where Namibia is below Senegal. Namibia is below Pakistan. Namibia is below Niger. Namibia is even below South Africa. Namibia is below even Cameroon, Nepal, Cote d'Ivoire, Iran that's currently being blown to smithereens. This is a scenario, obviously, of trying to understand, okay, what questions were people asked? This report is 272 pages, guys.
That is the million-dollar question.
We won't beat about the bush, but this report is 272 pages long. And they obviously won't have a page of every country. How many countries participate? Of 150 countries. They won't have a page of every country explaining what went into every country's particular ranking and why it finds itself in the position it is. However, there are surefire indicators that we can point to. You remember we started with health, Helmut?
Mm-hmm.
On the aspect of health, you will probably find from many Namibians, they would love the public health sector to be more resilient and actually treat many Namibians just a tad bit better, instead of targeting the wrong tooth or telling a patient that's in clear pain who needs an emergency, who needs assistance now. Oh no! First, sir, sorry. We'll wait. You first have to wait for the first 10 or 20 elderly people and babies to first be assisted. With health dispensation, you can't expect. Now, yes, I'm speaking as a privileged person who has used private sector health for a long time. You can't expect someone who's sitting in pain in front of you to come back tomorrow. You can't expect that of people. I'll say it again. You cannot expect the person to go home when they took time out of their day to come to you in the first place. Another scenario is also choices or life choices or the options that people have. Helmut, do you feel, and I'm asking you this just as a bare bones question, do you feel that you've got choices in life as you are currently?
No, I'm in survival mode.
I would actually concur with you.
Yeah.
I would actually agree with you.
Yeah, in survival mode, big time.
Even though our backgrounds are two complete polar opposites in some cases, that ultimately means the ecosystem that we call Namibia, this country, is not conducive enough for us. It's literally not. I mean, every day I hear of, for example, and I'm sorry for poking an eye now in this specific sector. I hear every day, the public servants who, if you go look at their actual productivity, their actual way of working, then you go and ask yourself a question of, the person is being paid just to do that? Just that?
Oh, yep.
That's all that person has to do?
Yep.
We even proved it through that report with the Directorate of Mines or Directorate of Mining, where it was I'll call you when I want to call you, and then you just give me the information. That's if I'm even in the mood to call you that morning, then you still just give me the information.
Yeah.
I won't verify anything from there. So, which also begs the particular question. I've been used to performance management, Helmut, my whole life, my whole career. You've also been used to performance management. Performance management means you don't get paid if you have not performed.
Yeah.
Meaning it's conditional.
You have to show up.
Do you know how many times I've heard, like in the public sector, people don't even have to write a letter a day.
And when you look at it, that's a legal obligation you're required by, you know, you're required by law. It's a part of the responsibilities of an employer. Of an employee, because you have common law responsibilities of an employer. You have common law responsibilities of an employee. Your employer is to provide all the necessary equipments and the right environment for you to execute responsibilities in, and your job is to basically show up and do the job that you are required to do, and then in turn his job pays you. So they as an employee you have your responsibilities by law, and your employer has his or her responsibilities by law. So when you are not, when you just wake up and decide, you know what, on second thought, I think I've slept, I had a terrible weekend, I was chilling a little too much, so I'll just sleep through and then cook up a lie.
Do you know what is the best lie I've ever seen in my life? Okay, not even a lie. They didn't even communicate.
An attempt.
They didn't even communicate.
Oh.
Was there in Russia, the South African and the Ghanaian lady. Helmut, it was a day like this, overcast, the Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
But it was super cold.
Yeah, of course, it's Russia.
And it was raining. Those two ladies, it was cold and it was raining. Those two ladies just decided, I'm not getting up. I'm not getting out of the hotel bed this morning. The idea was, you are being flown to Russia.
Mm-hmm.
You have to cover the whole thing. Ne?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if it's snow or sunshine, you have to cover.
You
have to cover that particular expo. These two ladies, they didn't even want to get out of their hotel rooms. The poor guy, our chaperone, had to go and wake them up. We literally came 35, 45 minutes later at the event where the expo was taking place because of these two ladies. They didn't even communicate to anyone to say, nah. Because they literally said, I woke up, I opened the curtain, and they just decided I will go and sleep.
Okay, here's the thing. Before you hop on a plane, do one Google search about the country you're visiting. Just one. I wouldn't be shocked to know that, I'm traveling to Russia and I will find out that, okay, maybe it's going to be hot. It's Russia. Basically, it's not just Russia. It's just the Northern Hemisphere.
Mm.
Those countries, you're talking about the Nordic countries, especially, November, December there.
Mm.
It's gonna be freezing cold.
Yeah. And, okay, obviously I'm not talking about Namibians, but they were Africans. They just decided, nah, I'm not getting out of my hotel room. Now, obviously, I'm speaking about another particular privileged position, meaning these are professionals, media professionals that had the opportunity of seeing a part of Russia that not many Africans get the opportunity to see. They had the opportunity to fly to another continent, another part of the world, which not many Africans also have the opportunity to do. And they did this for work. The concern from this also shows primarily the level of output, the level of, okay, what are you as a professional doing in your country, in your life, in the community, in the vicinity that you're living in? Because sometimes also the work that you do also impacts the people around you.
Yeah, now, before we basically wrap things up, or basically to wrap things up.
I still have a live read first.
Live read first. Yeah.
Welwitsche University for the 2026 January applications that are now extended for the Faculty of Law, Commerce and Education for the following programs. Certificate in Project Management Level 5, Certificate in Supply Chain Management Level 5, Diploma in Legal Studies Level 6, Diploma in Supply Chain Management Level 6, Diploma in Project Management Level 6, Bachelor of Education in Senior Primary Education Honours, Bachelor of Education in Secondary Education Honours, Bachelor of Laws Honours, Bachelor of Supply Chain Management Honours, and the Bachelor of Project Management Honours. For more information, please call 081-403-6406. Welwitsche University, where everyone is an achiever.
Yeah, just to wrap things up. I like the example you used earlier about if you went to the island of Vanuatu and asked the natives if they're happy, they will tell you, they're most likely going to tell you, oh sure, yeah, oh yeah, we are happy. So
while diving into the soil,
just to get married, yeah, hi. Now look, the thing is, when I'm looking at this whole lack of specific one size fits all definition, which no one really can provide, so that would be unfair to ask for one. If you look at the top 20, the countries countries that are in the top 20 most of the times in this world happiness reports.
Yeah.
Those are also the countries that are topping the chart of antidepressant consumption, and they are also the countries that are most of those countries are also on the top chart the top 10 loneliest nations in the world. You have Sweden with 47%, the UK with 34%, Japan with 31%, Italy 29%, United States, no surprises there, Canada, really? There is a surprise. Russia, that country is too big, so it's easy to be lonely. Never going to Russia.
There's a lot of spaces there.
A lot of space. With a commercial break.
You know, there's something about opening a Tafel Lager that brings people together.
Yeah, and once people come together, the voices follow.
Ideas get shared, laughs get louder.
New perspectives come up where you least expect them.
Because when people use their voice, conversations start.
And those conversations, they can refresh a moment and even shape what happens next.
So, grab a Tafel Lager and start the conversation. Tafel Lager, now we're talking. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Mopasanjika, Shoprata, Tokupe, Dato di Pevi, Opo Chaprenoa, Tochapura, Echaprenene, Nememequene, Pamina Horikeoe, Tashinwa, Nokupiza Shimaruaki Mangashi, Ojua, Yakiro Dirine, your real good IQF mixed chicken portions, Kedora, Ethanomirongo Wainway, Nesenda, Omirongo Wainway, Oshoyo, the Bakri traditional hot cross buns, Yinashike, Edora, Omnogamano, Esenda, Omirongo Wainway, Mokapati, and Dato de Ka, Odinokusuamaskuga Manoga Piri, Obra Tunji, Oka Shoprata, Akuke.
So now, welcome back. So wrapping it up, my point is I'm trying to find a correlation between loneliness and antidepressant, high loneliness, high antidepressant consumption, and high happiness.
Mm.
Yeah, just trying to find a correlation, and I can't find one. Because, look, I'm trying to adopt as a Namibian the whole, because I want us to be happy. I want to start giving people advice on how to be happy, but when I'm looking into at the best example, at countries that are supposedly the happiest, and they've been on the like countries like Sweden and Finland have been in the top five for several years, going back as far as these reports goes. Now, I'm trying, and also by the way, singleness. By the way, there are also some of the countries where you find the most single people, and they're happy. No, that's not a surprise, actually.
I thought that happiness was affiliated to households. How many households? Family?
Social interaction is a significant part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to hear that you're the highest ranked happy people, but you're the loneliest, happiness and loneliness don't go together. It's one of the reasons why I also...
why do you need a lot of antidepressant if you're happy?
Exactly. And the other dimension is obviously when you look at happiness and loneliness together, happiness and loneliness does not mean the person is happy.
Uh-huh.
Now, why are you consuming antidepressants? Why do you also have... What was the other thing that you highlighted?
I've never run into someone that's so happy they wanted antidepressants. I mean, if you take out the anti, you have depression going on. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, even in that particular dimension, things, they don't make sense.
Look, I'm just saying from my point of view, the meth is not mething. So, and also, well, the point is, there is no, like, clear-cut definition. But on the social welfare, you actually have to, I mean, that one is hard to, you know, it's hard to argue with. They have social welfare that's basically contributing to some degree of comfort, and of not just physical, but emotional and mental with regards to, access to service. Mm. They can access them at any time. Anyway, which basically cuts a lot of time. And also, by the way, if you just look up the statistics on drugs consumption, I think it's because of having so much time on your hands. For example, you just go straight into all that. But the crime, on the other hand, not very high. I think that also plays a significant role when it comes to why they are at the top of the chart in terms of happiness indices.
Okay.
So,
yeah, crime is also another thing.
Crime is very, very, very low.
So,
in
if
most
we
of those
ever
countries.
Reported the crime that Namibians experience or commit here on a daily basis, Namibia would have looked like a war zone.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So, 4 minutes into the hour of six, that brings us to the end of Home Run for today. Until tomorrow, same time, same place on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM, from yours truly here. Until then.
Good night, guys. Enjoy the rest of your evening in our company.